All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Oh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true!
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Yes, people, it's Thoughts and Akali this week. I was joined by the legend Tiny Temper, a massive accomplished artist here from the UK, an absolute legend. 7 number one singles, the most sold weekly sales from a UK rapper ever. He's got a new single out, it's called Energy. We spoke about life, ups and downs, jiu-jitsu, all sorts. Check him out, it's Tiny Temper, this is Thoughts and Akali.
I'd heard every diss, I'd been mentally beaten up in every way that now I just didn't care, bro. I don't even know how to explain it. Like, there was nothing left. It's like, cool, I'm either going to make it or I'm just going to die trying.
So wait. They've all got 100 grand
each, yeah.
No. It blew my mind. Yeah. And I was like, wait, Corey, what? Who else do you think's got 100 grand? Yeah. Like, this is like a whole... This is what I'm telling you, bro.
It was the only festival, rest in peace, that in the UK that Prince was doing that year or had done in a long time. So even to be on that lineup was ridiculous.
That's the day when I thought, yeah, this Tiny Temper is a serious human being.
Yeah, I am, bro. Big time, brother.
SRV separation confirmed. Coming up on staging, the burnout of these twin solid rocket boosters at 2:05.
I can tell about my life, I got scars for the proof. No, my bars are the truth, 9 stars in the roof. Plus I'm rolling with another star. If you ever saw the service in a double R, I could've bought another car. Reasoning with Lizzie, yeah, I talk to my money. I'll be running to the bands, they just walk to the money. You can't talk to me funny, never. She gave me brains in the roller, that's what I call thoughts in the collie. Hey, okay.
Yes, Big Patrick.
What's happening?
Big Patrick.
I don't even know your real name. What's your real name? I know it's similar.
You know, it's Isaac Kobe.
There you go. Isaac, what's happening, my guy?
All good, bro.
What are you telling me, brother? I'm good.
We pulled up like twins today.
Come on, why not, bro?
It's a dream come true, you know.
From grime.
Yeah, for sure.
Got it from grime, bro.
We've been in the game for a long time.
I haven't got this, though.
Oh, get up. We'll talk about all that in a minute. We'll talk about all that in a minute. I'm glad we finally got a chance to do this because 100%. I've got a funny story. So obviously we was in Ibiza.
We were, bro.
And
with the silky shirts.
With the silky shirts. It was like 4 a.m.
Come on.
Obviously, I don't go out much. So when I'm on holiday, I'm on holiday vibes. Obviously, yep. I'm in the VIP. I'm a Tiny Temper.
Come on. You know, life is good.
The bottles are flowing. There's hella sparkles. And it's 4 a.m.
Yeah.
I'm just seeing Tiny do Tiny. And Tiny's like, oh. Let's do a Thoughts in the Cuddy while we're here tomorrow.
At 4 a.m. as well, yeah.
Yes, that's what told me at 4 a.m. Yeah. And you said, oh, yeah, let's do it like 12 tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because my flight's at 2. And I was like, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
But obviously these times I'm buzzed.
Yeah, okay, so like, you're just chatting anything.
No, obviously, I'm not even chatting anything. I think I can accomplish this. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Then I've woken up early, like 7, 8. And I'm like gearing myself up and I'm like, I'm still drunk, man.
Yeah, bro, jiu-jitsu, bro. You need to do jiu-jitsu, bro.
I'm still drunk, man. Like, you see, like, that type of work ethic that you kind of just displayed in that moment.
Yeah.
Is that how you are all the time, constantly on go?
Constantly, bro, until I die.
That's crazy.
You might as well be.
Yeah.
Especially when you've got to a point where you've kind of, you know, you've got past the hardest part. Do you get what I mean? So everyone's got a different dream or ambition in terms of how they see success. But for me, I've got past the hardest hurdle. Like I always say to people, when I started recording, I used to go and link Richie Montana, who's my engineer, but more than that, like he's my business partner. We're across so many different things. I used to bump the train from Enns, from Southeast London, go to his live off of £1 pizza, and that's when I was recording Hood Economics. And so to be here now in Ibiza, like you said, with yourself, bunch of Cullinans outside, hi Ibiza. Come on, man. We just got to keep going, bro.
Yeah,
the sky's the limit, brother.
And you know what? That work ethic has never left you, as you just mentioned, because I'll tell you an interesting story that you might never know. But when I actually started Grime Daily,
yeah,
I had messaged every artist on Facebook.
Yeah.
And I'd messaged all of them and I was like, hi, my name's... I'd set up the Gram Daily account. I messaged them saying, hi, we've set up the UK version of World Star Hip Hop.
Yeah.
And we want to like interview you, want to get things done or whatever. And I messaged every rapper
mm-hmm.
that was known to man. And only two people replied to me.
Yeah.
And that was you and Bashy.
We got Bashy, man.
Yeah.
Mr. Ashley Thomas.
And so that's just a display of how super on it you've been.
Of course, bro. Of course. And also even just kind of keeping aware of like emerging talent, bro. Because that's something that makes me just as excited as pushing myself forward.
Yeah.
Like, again, around that time, it was just kind of the end of Channel U era. Do you get what I mean? And then I think a few artists had emerged from that that were starting to kind of become household names in the UK, starting to hit the charts. And so for me, as much as I'm thinking about my own journey and my own career, like you said, we have America to kind of look at and compare ourselves to. So I can't remember seeing that message, but I'm sure when I did, the feeling would have been like, yes,
yeah,
no, a UK version, yeah, of World Star. That's what we need. Yeah, of course I'm here, like 100%, bro.
Yeah, you got back to me. And this is before you had really accomplished like that superstar level that you got to. This is like when obviously you've done Wifey Rhythm, A Milk and Two Sugars,
yeah, type Tears page,
you know what I'm saying?
Tears,
not a lot of people know about A Milk and Two Sugars blog.
Tell them,
you see,
bro.
You see what I used to do, like obviously grahamdaily.com was like an aggregation of like the latest stuff,
yeah,
and your blog was somewhere I would go to steal videos.
Because know, you would bro, like tell
you
them.
Would you would like highlight what people were doing.
Yeah,
that
tell
was
them,
good.
Bro. Do you know what, P? Tell them, bro. And that's why, bro, obviously I've stepped up on the social media again. I'm back, guys, yeah. But that's why I fell off, because I'm tired, bro.
Yeah.
I've been doing it for so long.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That was milkandtwosugars.wordpress.com, and I was on it from everyone like Bashy, who you said responded to you, JME, Skepta, like anyone and everyone that was involved in this thing. I would go, I would take my little red JVC camera at the time, and then I would film all the content, upload it onto my basic HP computer or Toshiba.
Yeah.
I remember Richie used to laugh at me for having a Toshiba laptop. I don't even know if that's a thing anymore. But then I'd edit all the videos myself, I'd put it up, basically anything I could do to just break through. And that's why these days, maybe it's a bit of complacency that kicked in along the way. I've definitely tried to shake myself off of that. But I got to the point where I was like, what else do I have to prove or do, man? I've done it, bro.
You have done it. I just want to say, like, let you know how legendary you are. I mean, like, you've accomplished so much. I mean, we can talk about the records you've established, which has kind of been on people's ears of late, knowing how much you've sold in terms of holding the record for the most albums sold from an artist, like from our generation and stuff like that. And even like having 7 number one singles, which is like a lot of singles, you know what I'm saying? And all the achievements that you've actually done. But before you actually got there, I wanna know, like, what made you think you can get there? Because there was like a time where, like, the things that we're talking about just seemed so out of reach.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
So out of reach.
Of course.
So, like, did you know that, obviously, like, we had people like Tinchy Strider, who was, like, I feel like in 2008, Tinchy was, like, the best-selling artist in the UK.
In the UK, yeah.
Not rap, not grime, not nothing.
Yeah,
he was
bro.
The best-selling artist in the UK. So
100%.
Do you feel like seeing Tinchy kind of making that happen kind of gave you a little bit of hope in knowing this level is actually quite possible?
It was Tinchy, but it was also Dizzy at the time.
Mm.
It was also Kano at the time, and it was also like So Solid. So it all kind of, for me, started from So Solid. Like, I was about 12 years old at that time. Prior to that, I'm looking at American content, do you get what I mean? So 50 Cent, Jay-Z, Ja Rule, Eminem, Lil Wayne, all of these guys for me was like the epitome, obviously bar Eminem, of like black success for my like 12, 13, 14 year old mind, yeah. And then when I saw So Solid Crew, I was like, okay, this actually could happen in the UK. Like, this is the first time outside of Channel U I've seen something incredibly polished, yeah. They're all brothers, do you get what I mean? And they're all, do you get what I mean, from same places we grew up in, but they're shining and they're doing it on a commercial level. So I think once I saw that, that was my go ahead. And then if I'm being honest, like to actually specifically answer your question, bro, I've always been a bit delusional, you know,
yeah,
and a bit of a dreamer, and you probably are as well.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I feel like you have to be in order to realize a dream that hasn't necessarily been realized yet. And I think at the time, like you said, you know, even mentioning Tinchy, I think at the time, like, I was putting out music, like you said, but it hadn't quite broken through in the same way that Tinchy had, or Dizzy had, or Kano, or any of the people I mentioned. And I feel like I was almost waiting for my turn. So I was delusional, one. I'd been putting in a lot of work, and slowly, you know, like, bro, I was born in Peckham. At 12 years old, I moved to Plumstead, bro. There was no one. Most people still haven't even heard of Plumstead today. Now we've got like Romsey, we've got Lucky Lavish, we've got loads of guys from Plumstead. Even one of the guys that rolls with Ads and them guys, I forgot his name. But yeah, we've got loads of guys from Plumstead and that kind of area, Woolwich and all of that now. But at the time, no one had really come from that area and was doing it the same way you would say like a Tinchy Strider or someone like that was. So in my mind, I was like, all right, cool, I've already broken out of Plumstead, I've positioned myself in East London, which is where it was popping. Do you get what I mean? And is that where you're from?
Yeah.
In East London, that's where it was popping, that's where Roll Deep was, Aftershock, Nasty Crew. So I've already positioned myself now in Aftershock with Bruiser and them, man. How did I do that? Okay, if I can do that, maybe now I could be a solo artist. Okay, guys, I'm gonna, you know, take a step away from Aftershock. Thank you for everything. I'm gonna put out this tune, Wifey. All right, put out the tune, Wifey. Now that's doing really well on Channel U. So it was little incremental steps that gave me gave my delusion more and more like credibility. And if that makes sense, do you know what I mean? Okay, you might be crazy in your way of thinking and wildly ambitious, but actually you're breaking through. It's slow. And no one's necessarily saying you're the guy, but it's happening. Do you get what I mean? So I think every crazy delusion that I had that I was then able to turn into reality gave me more and more confidence and strength and belief in what I was doing, and the belief that I could take it where I've taken it.
Nah, and you've taken it far. And I don't know if I'm making this up, yeah, but I do feel like I could be making it up, but I can't be making it up. I do feel like, you know, when you first got your number one, did Tinchy, do you remember Tinchy tweeting you saying welcome? Or have I made that up? I feel like he tweeted you saying welcome. And I was like, yo.
Nah, Tinchy, Tinchy, bro, he called me the other day to celebrate 15 years of Game Over. But it was one of the best calls I've had in a long time. And he was like, T, man, how are you? He always jokes on the phone. I don't know if you talk to him, but he always has all these little riddles and banter, like funny banter.
I can't keep up
with it, Tinch.
Even the hellos go
and it turns into a rap. Tinchy's a special guy. So I remember at the time, and he did a remix for me for Tears. So Tears was still on an underground level, Tears with Cleo Soul.
Yeah.
He came and jumped on that. So I remember at the time, Tinchy was like, bro, goat level, bro. When this guy's moving through, bro, it's like Jay-Z is moving through. I know a lot of people from this generation will probably not understand this, but you just had to be there.
For sure.
Do you get what I'm saying? So I wouldn't be surprised if Tinchy tweeted me and said welcome.
He did.
That's the sort of thing that Tinchy would have done.
That's a Tinchy move. You know what I'm saying?
Welcome. Yeah. And he was moving with a Roc Nation guy. Lot of Jay-Z kind of aura around him. I think he would have. Yeah,
he's definitely that boy. I want to talk about, you know, a lot of people don't know you can rap.
Yeah,
you
know what I'm saying? I don't know why. I think it's just a...
because you got the smash hits, you know what I'm saying? You got the smash hits, you got the Rolls, you know what I'm saying? They're looking good, you know what I'm saying, fair Big enough, T? Bro. But, I remember there was one time you was on, like, this set. It was, like, this Ace and Viz set.
Mm.
And he was with, like, I feel like Rich was on there.
Yeah.
And there was, like, it was, like, a Christmas set
And Gets, it was, like, a couple people.
Gets, Rich, and all that.
Yeah.
And you, lyrically, was just as good as them the whole set. And these times, that Rich gets...
Gods.
Rap geniuses, gods, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That's the day that I walked away, and this is before pass out and all that stuff. That's the day when I thought, yeah, this Tiny Temper is a serious human being. You know what I'm saying? So
I am, bro. Big time, bro.
I just waited to feel seen.
Thank you, man.
Nah, you did your big one, 100%.
Nah, I appreciate that. You know what it is, bro? I've come to peace with the whole idea or narrative that, like, yeah, you know, you can't rap like that, or has he got the bars, or, you know, if someone wants to critique a man, okay, maybe he's good at making hits, but he's not good at making or doing this. One thing I will say is, bro, to make a hit, bro, is not easy. Like, it's not easy. There's a level of genius that goes into making a hit, my brother. That's science, bro. Mm. Do you get what I'm saying? And I've done it several times, over and over again. Yeah. And then, even if you liken it to like sports or like, you know, like a particular football team, you might say, all right, cool. You know, this is my favorite player because he has this. Or even when you're playing FIFA, you know, he has, his running is on 98. His tackling is on 92. He's on, bro, I don't mind, man. Like, let someone else be the harder rapper than me. I don't mind. Like, I know what my strengths are. I know what I can do. And I'm very, very comfortable in that. I just think the industry has evolved so much to a point where now that doesn't even really matter. Mm. Like, I'm even sure, like, not to like go at anyone specifically, but I'm even sure we've got to like where America is, where some rappers are probably even using ghostwriters. Mm. Do you know what I mean? It's probably got to that, because at the end of the day, it's a music industry, and it is about songs ultimately. But yeah, I think before, when I was a lot younger, it used to get to me because it almost felt like an easy thing for people to just flippantly say, like, yeah, do you get what I mean? Like, even people that couldn't even rap themselves, even people that weren't even artists themselves, yeah, but can he rap though? But I think now, when I'm looking back at my career and looking back at all the achievements and all the support I've got from the fans, bro, I can't be anything but grateful and happy and content with what I've been able to do within my capacity. And if I'm not, you know, the lyrical miracle guy, and there's someone else or girl, and there's someone else that you guys want to listen to for that, then by all means, man, because I'm probably listening to that person as well. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, for sure. I don't want to dive too much into Pass Out, because we've heard you talk about Pass Out so much times. I mean,
of course,
it's just been just an epic tale. And obviously, I just want to know, like, when you finally reach that number one status, like, how surprised or shocked, or did you just take it in your stride, like, yeah, of course I was gonna, you know what I'm saying? Like, what was the vibe when you finally, because you see that moment, I feel like Pass Out just felt a bit more amplified and polished than anything that we'd heard up until that point. Like, even just down to the intro, like,
yeah,
I'm okay,
yeah,
I'm good. You know what I'm saying? You wasn't playing no games.
No games. I was ready, bro.
You was ready. The video was ready. Everything was ready. Like, when you finally hit that achievement, like, obviously by that time you probably were with Parlophone and stuff.
Yeah,
like
that. I was.
This is what I'm saying. I've been copying you my whole life.
Like, now everyone can hear, unless you edit it out.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I've been copying your style my whole life. You know what I'm saying? I ended up a Parlophone. You know what I'm saying? You got the AP. I went and got the AP. You know what I'm saying?
What did I do?
You got the car. I went and got. You know what I'm saying? Now all that's left is jiu-jitsu, but we're gonna talk about that later.
We're gonna work on that, bro. You owe me a session, bro.
Yeah, we're gonna work on that later. But
how
right,
can you
cool.
try and say I'm gonna just film you doing jiu-jitsu and then you're gonna be sitting there? How? In what planet, bro? You owe me a session, brother. Definitely.
Listen.
Definitely.
I can't have you done in my dance or jiu-jitsu on YouTube, bro.
It's good for you and it's good for life, bro.
Yeah,
no,
of course, man. You've been practicing, my boy.
Practicing.
Like, yo, you've got belts and shit.
Bro, I've got belts, bro. I've had fucking torn groins, everything, bro.
Oh, yeah.
Broken toes, broken thumbs, everything. But going back to your question, honestly, and I think this is also, I'm saying this to also inspire any artist out there who's feeling like they're not being seen right now, or who's feeling like they're not getting the credit that they deserve. By that point, bro, I was so, my skin was so thick. Like, you know when, like, you know when you almost like have nothing, there's failure is no longer an option. Yeah, I've heard all the criticism I can hear, and remember, bro, like, we're from a very kind of colorful industry. Yeah, it goes without saying. Yeah, like, we're essentially, you know, 3-4% of the population, and so the population of that that are artists is even probably a fraction in the 0.something. Yeah, it's at the time maybe not as much, but from my experience, it was very dog eat dog. It was very alpha, very testosterone fueled. Yeah, I had taken every slap, I'd heard every diss, I'd been like mentally beaten up in every way, that now I just didn't care, bro. I don't even know how to explain it. Like, there was nothing left. It's like, cool, I'm either gonna make it or I'm just gonna die trying. So I think when it got to the point where Pass Out went straight to number one, to me, reflecting on it, it was a culmination of all of that energy and effort that I'd been putting in from, like you said, the Milk and Two Sugars, the mixtapes, going on all the sets, trying to kind of like earn my place in that kind of world, all the releases, Wifey, this and that. It was a culmination of all of that, and maybe the fans, the silent fans or and the active ones that were maybe watching and that were happy to see me cross over in that way. And then I think internally, it was almost like, good, good. Like, cause watch, now that you've given this to me, like, it's a wrap, bro. I'm it's pressure, foot on necks. I'm not taking no breaks. The same way, like I said, I'm seeing you at 4 a.m. and saying, let's do Thoughts in a Cully at midday tomorrow. That is how I was then. So it's like, now you've given me this, me, a one-hit wonder. Absolutely not. You're going to see. And I'm going to keep going until it gets annoying, which I think it probably did at some point. But I'm gonna keep going until you guys are sick of me. And when I say you guys, it wasn't aimed at anyone specifically. It was just where my mind was at the time. Like, no one's going to help you. You're not the favourite. Do you get what I mean? It's almost like I have this analogy that, like, you know, like the most popular guy in school and the most popular girl in school, they almost peak too early because they're the ones getting all the adulation. Meanwhile, all the guys and girls on the sidelines are trying to, do you know what I mean, come up. But you think school is real life. And then it's not until you go to college, maybe uni, I didn't go to uni, but then you come out of that and then you're like, shit, that wasn't even real life. This is where the real life begins. By then, the most popular guy and the most popular girl, they're no longer. Do you get what I mean? It's now someone else. It was the, you know, like the slow blossoming flower that's now the one. Do you know what I mean? Or the guy that kept getting the nose and now he's the one playing ball or he's the one doing whatever he's doing. So I feel like I was kind of within the context of music, especially the genre that I came from, I felt like I was that guy. And so the minute I got my opportunity, I was like, I'm not taking this for granted. And yeah, the evidence is there, isn't it?
Yeah, no, of course. You did an amazing job. And I was even, this only really just hit me today, but I was thinking back at that time and I was thinking about how amazing it was for me to be invited to your number one party.
Yeah.
Because when you went number one, like, that was the first number one, that was the first massive thing that had happened since I had started my career.
Yeah.
So, like, knowing that somebody that I had worked with or done something with had gone number one, and then they're having, like, a number one party.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm invited.
Yeah.
Like, that was, like, really inspirational,
yeah,
to me.
Yeah, it was levels.
In my journey, because it was, like, it just made me feel like I had a real job.
Yeah.
You know what I'm trying to say? So, yeah. Like, that's... So when I was thinking about it, I was thinking, oh, that's probably like the effect that something like the gala might have on somebody like up and coming or just come and it's their first time kind of thing. Do you know what I mean? And I feel like those moments are super important because I was gassed when I got invited to that dance.
100%. It was levels. And just like the gala's levels, what I like about what you just said now is that the gala is phenomenal and fantastic. And sorry, I haven't come to the last couple. Obviously, I was there for the first few, but like... The gala is amazing because it allows people to feel seen, bro. Like, I can't speak for anyone else, yeah, but when speaking from my experience and some of the people I know, yeah, when you're marginalized, yeah, like a lot of us have been in this society, you, as a result, have a lack of confidence, yeah? And sometimes you can mask it in other ways, do you get what I mean? Like, even some of the people that were the wildest and the craziest in my area, upon reflection, they were lacking in something. Do you know what I mean? Confidence. They were trying to overcompensate for something, yeah? And so what I like about the gala is those people, like some of those people, because it's not everyone, there's obviously superstars there as well, do you get what I mean? And big brands and all that kind of stuff, but it gives people an opportunity to feel seen and to feel acknowledged. And that's such an important thing to do, in the same way you felt that from the number one party. Okay, this is a real thing, do you know what I mean? This is actually number ones in the actual official chart. I'm here, I'm documenting it in some way, or I feel a part of this. It's gonna do something for you internally, do you know what I mean? That's probably, I don't know, gonna make you make your next move or have confidence in your next move or your next meeting or your next conversation when you maybe reference it. And so I think the gala does that for a lot of people. So big up, man, and well done for maintaining it year on year on year, because it cannot be easy to do that. Do you get what I mean? So yeah, well done, bro.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Talk about something specific. Another moment for me, it was like, do you remember your song 100k?
Yeah.
So when you had that song 100k, I think I'd bought my first flat by then.
Yeah.
And
I know you're on it, man. You're on it, bro.
Yeah, yeah, I've been.
What
trying.
Did you get? You got a law degree, innit? Tell them, bro.
Yeah, yeah, you know, I got a couple things. Still working it
this
out.
This is a big guy, you know, bro. This guy's mind is working differently, bro. Don't be fooled, man.
I would say part-time driver. You know what I'm saying? I do it all. But so I remember when you lot had that song called 100K, right? So I feel like I just saved about 40 grand, yeah, mm-hmm. and I bought my first flat.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think I was like trying to, I think I forgot that I bought a flat, because now I was just paying my mortgage. Yeah, and like yeah. I was kind of like, I paid my mortgage and I had my car. So it wasn't like I was saving big money yet, yeah, kind of thing.
Yeah, of course.
So I remember when you lot had the song 100K.
Yeah.
It blew my mind, because I was like, what?
100 grand.
I was like, what? They've all got, so wait. They've all got 100 grand.
Each, yeah.
No. It blew my mind. Yeah. Like, I was like, wait, they've got 100 grand. Like, that was like such a moment for me.
Yeah, thank you, bro.
I even remember I was in Bermondsey and Corey Johnson.
Big up Corey, yeah.
And I was like, wait, Corey, what? Well, who else do you think's got 100 grand? Like, this is like a whole. I'm telling you, bro. This is like a whole thing. This is like a whole thing in my life. And obviously nowadays, like, we kind of sit there and just laugh at days like that. But
yeah, of course.
You know, like, actually making money then was so much harder.
Yeah.
Than it is to make money now as a Absolutely. Young black man. If yeah, that makes
bro.
What I'm saying.
Yeah,
it's like it's a completely
yeah,
different playing field. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like.
Some of my young boys are getting 100k off of one crypto flip, bro. One little, I put a little five in there. Oh, flip 3 days later. Oh my goodness, 98 bags, bro. It's completely different, bro.
Like, we didn't have these opportunities.
We didn't have these opportunities.
You know what I'm trying
bro.
To say?
No
like,
way.
It's a completely different time. So obviously that might sound crazy that we was going nuts over 100k. Because if it wasn't even a statement to you. It might have been 500k. That might have been the name of the song.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
how
yeah.
much 100k.
Of course, it was
then.
A statement to me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And G Fresh and Conan and Crept. Yeah, of course, yeah. bro. South London's finest, man. Like, yeah. big them all up. I think at the time that was the exact point of the track. Like, I think I'd released the album, and then obviously I still had that whole thing in my mind, which, like I said, I don't really have as much anymore. Oh, let me show people I can spit, man. Like, this is just gonna be. All centered around my birthday. I'm celebrating myself. I'm the guy right now. Guys, let's just all talk about when we got our first 100 grand, what that felt like. I think G Fresh's verse was the best, and I think that he basically articulated it. You know what he's like.
Yeah, he meant that shit.
Yeah, he meant it. I was like 21 sitting in my mum's house when I counted out my first 100.
Woo!
And he really did. Yeah, he really did, bro. That's the guy. So yeah, I'm glad that I've never heard anyone tell me that how that track made them feel and what that meant to them. And bro, all I can say is that I appreciate it.
Yeah, it made
and
me feel broke, Tony.
Oh, no, that wasn't the intention, bro. Look at you now, bruv. What? How much is this car worth, bro? That you could, you know what I mean? That's like,
that's a wait by turn.
100K can't get this car, bro.
Nah. That was, now all jokes aside, that was very inspirational. And you know what it is? It made me. You know when it just make you just kind of know things of certain things are possible.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm trying to say? Like,
yeah.
So it was definitely good experience and good for me to know. obviously, like, you've accomplished so many things as we've discussed. You've, like, traveled all around the world.
Yeah.
And when it comes to, like, source and, like, you know, like, there's some people, yeah, like, they could have money, but they don't know how to spend the money.
Yeah.
Because you've always been one of those people that just looks like they were supposed to have money. Like, a lot of people can have money, but not quite sure how to spend it. And it just doesn't always come across the most classy. And I just feel like you've always held yourself in a very classy way.
No, thank you,
bro. I want to know, I actually even remember a story, actually. I was in the Brits once, and Ed Sheeran got Stormzy, this Patek Philippe.
Yeah.
It was like all black.
Yeah.
And I think it was like to celebrate something or whatever. And it was like, it's a very limited piece.
Yeah.
And I remember like Storms was like about to really go out and venture out and start going crazy on the watches. And I remember him saying something. Oh, like, he was asking me something. And then he also said, oh yeah, I'm going to ask Tiny about something. Like, that's how, in terms of like, that feel the things, we respect your opinion.
No, I appreciate your opinion. Man. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Because you've been getting it since you was 12. And,
not quite.
You've been getting it since you was 12.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, where does that come from? Because it feels like you just kind of really always been in your groove. I mean, even Skepta said, ask Domi and T, the food tastes lovely.
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I'm saying? You're like,
about food as well.
Yeah. You know, you're like you're the connoisseur of the higher living. So, like, where does that come from?
Great question. I think some of it comes from Mumsy. To be honest, this is Thoughts in a Cully, and I'm just thinking about it now. I think Mumsy has always, regardless of the fact that we were from like a low socioeconomic start, council estate opposite North Peckham estate, my mum always had the ambition for more, and my dad was very supportive of her. But like, I remember, like, when my mum got some bread, like, she basically started trading and started selling like laces, yeah, you know, like what all the African aunties wear and stuff. So I remember, and this probably affected my mind in some way, but around eight or nine years old, she used to take me to these factories in Switzerland, yeah. And I would see her haggle with all these factory owners, and she'd get good wholesale prices of lace, come back to the ends, sell them, make money. And then I remember, then she bought like a C180, like Mercedes. Obviously now that's, you know, it is what it is. But I remember at the time, I was like, rah, okay, private plate. I was like, like, this lady likes nice things, innit? Do you get what I mean? Then from the council estate, then we ended up moving to a semi-detached house in a slightly nicer area. So I think some of it definitely comes from Mumsy. And then I would say some of it comes from, like, my big bros. So all the guys that were around initially, the likes of, like, the Dummies, the Lindens, and people of that, like, you know, other guys that probably won't even want me to say their names, but they always were onto, okay, cool, this is the kettle that we've got, or this is the this is the that, this is the this. And for me, I was like so inspired by that. So then obviously once I came into my own, I already had like a crash course in what taste and luxury, let's say luxury goods, yeah. And then the timing of me coming into my own and those worlds, you know, fashion, luxury items, coming and looking at our scene and being like, okay, cool, why don't we get a little ambassador from there to endorse our thing? Or why don't we start inviting them, you know, like the same way we're in Ibiza. That sort of stuff started happening as I started coming into my own. So I was able to then very quickly learn on the go. I didn't take it for granted. I was like, cool, AP's inviting me to Switzerland to the factory to see how the watches are made. I'm gonna listen and I'm gonna watch it. I'm not just gonna... Back then, social media was as, you know, powerful as it is now, but not in the same way. So I wasn't even thinking about socials. Like, I need to take the picture. I'll take the picture of all the kettles. I just wanted to learn, bro, and understand and refine my palate. And I think I had this understanding that, like, where we've come from is, like, there's this thing called Maslow's hierarchy of needs, yeah? And basically, it's like a pyramid. And I think at the very bottom, basically, it's all the things that humans need, yeah, to basically reach their full potential. And I guess the theory is everyone's in different places on that pyramid. And so I think the bottom of it is like basic needs, like food and water and stuff like that, shelter, da 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 da. When I looked at that thing, obviously everyone can go and do their own research, see where they lie on this pyramid, yeah. But I realized very quickly that me personally was very low down on the pyramid, yeah. Like I said, at the top, I think it's something like, you know, enlightenment, or, you know, like, you know, when people get to that place now where they're meditating and they can, do you get what I mean? They're able to kind of, what's the word? Like really be in control of themselves and be present and all of these kind of things that maybe if you're worried about like your gas bill, that's not really what you're on, for example, yeah. I realized that I was very low down in that pecking order. And so when it came to taste, that was the first tangible thing that I could find that in my mind, obviously it takes a lot more than that, but that in my mind would start to kind of like, you know, help me level up as a human being. Do you get what I mean? Understanding things, starting to learn things out of my comfort zone, starting to learn how the other half live. So I'd say it's a combination of that, man. Mumsy definitely blazed the trail in terms of like making us believe that we should feel like we deserve more for ourselves. Like, just because we're in this council flat, it doesn't mean we have to stay there. There's nothing wrong with it, but there's also nothing wrong with wanting more as well. And then, like I said, the big bros, do you know what I mean? At a certain age, 16, rah, you got your own house. Rah, okay, you got this mad trainer collection. Rah, look at your watches. This watch is 10 grand. You know, you're saying 100K, bro. For me at that time, 10 grand for what? 20 grand. So I kind of just took that and then just ran with it, bro.
I want you to tell me, like, what has been, like, the experience that you've had as Tiny Temper, being Tiny Temper, that really blew your mind? Like the perfect day.
The perfect day.
Or like the sickest experience, or like the best room you've been in where you're just like, raw, I'm really in this room and I belong here. You know what I'm trying to say? Like,
yeah. Okay, so I'll stop you there. I think you always have a bit of imposter syndrome. I think I don't know about you, but I think coming from where we've come from, you will always have, obviously no one's getting younger, do you get what I mean? But it's always going to be in there a little bit of like, am I meant to be here? Or like, do I need to take my shoes off? Or like, do you get what I'm saying? There's always a bit of that. But I would say there's been several days, and those days change as my mind changes. So I would say one of the first days was definitely the BAFTAs. When I performed at the BAFTAs, I think I was second album in. I just like performed. I'd already like, I was already quite acquainted with like the likes of like a Prince William and whatever. So I felt super confident when I was performing around the crowd to just dap man up and just say, yeah.
Oh, you dapped up Prince William?
Yeah, dapped him, yeah. Like, it was more a high five, but just hail him
you
up. Can't, like,
you had to high five.
Yeah, you can't, yeah. Yeah. Come on, man.
That's a bit
wild. That's a bit wild, bro. Yeah. But like, hail him up.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean? And then after that, there was like a little after party. And I remember like Angelina Jolie, Brad Pitt, all these guys were there. And then they had just seen me perform. So because they'd just seen me perform, there was a lot of like love and positive energy. Like, oh, your performance was amazing. So now I found myself mixing and talking with all of these, and everyone has different perceptions of Hollywood or whatever, but for me personally, especially at that time, mixing with that crowd definitely made me feel like raw. I'm from ends, like from a council estate. How is this even happening? That was one time. There was another mad time when I had to do like this festival in Kent. I was one below Prince. So I performed, then Prince was coming on. As Prince was coming on, we had to jet to Biggin Hill. Then when we got to Biggin Hill, we got in a jet. Then we flew to south of France, got to Nice, and then drove to Cannes. And then one of our brothers, actually, big up Freddie, he was like promoting the night. It was the only festival, rest in peace, that in the UK that Prince was doing that year or had done in a long time. So even to be on that lineup was ridiculous. Then I couldn't even stay for the Prince performance because we had another like club show in the south of France that night. So did my slot in the daytime, went straight to Biggin Hill, got on a little jet, ended up in Nice, got chauffeured over to one club called Goffa at the time. I don't know if Goffa's still there. And then obviously, you know, south of France is beautiful, the boats are there, So I'm kind of seeing all this stuff for the first time. And I'm just thinking, how can my life be in a sense that in the same day, I'm in the UK, I'm also in France, I was just performing with one of the, underneath one of the greatest artists of all time. And now I've flown to the south of France, I'm around this like mad crowd, and I'm performing and they know my records. I think that was always the thing as well. Like, they know the music. Like, they're rapping the lyrics. Like, this is mad. And then I would say now, like, my best day is kind of come about when I end up meeting people from other worlds. Now I'm more interested in like finance and tech, and you know, this guy runs this fund that's doing this, or these guys founded this tech company and it's AI and it's rare, rare, rare. That's more interesting to me than saying, oh, you know, this actor or this singer or this, because I think I've grown mentally as a person and my horizons are broader as well. Even yesterday, to be fair, that was an amazing day. Like, we went to the Sidemen Holiday Man, and it was actually like, there was a couple of us. Like, Notes was there, H was there, Chip was there, Bash the Entertainer, A1 was there, you know, Everett. Yeah, and then we're just playing hide and seek, bro.
Yeah.
And then I'm looking at the Sidemen and I'm thinking of, like, I've done so many TV shows and so many different things, yeah? And it's actually mad that like your production and your setup is bigger than all of theirs. Like, and you guys are like, especially KSI, you're like me. Do you know what I'm saying? This is amazing. And I just get to run around and just play hide and seek with you guys and 49 other people, because it was 50 of us. And that's my day. That's in my schedule to do that. How amazing is that? So I'm very thankful to God that I've been able to carve out a life and a lifestyle for myself where I wake up and I obviously try to move myself forward. I try to take care of my family, but in the same breath, I'm kind of doing enjoyable things, even if it is just a day when I'm with the kids and the missus and I'm just doing jiu-jitsu. It's stuff that I want to do, and I'm very grateful.
You know, that's amazing. Obviously, like, and I also noticed actually that you was on that bus with Chip, and obviously touching on that, I just wanted to talk about and ask you, how did you guys get to that level of growth where obviously you've been through like back and forths in terms of music? Because rapping is a competitive sport, you know what I'm trying to say? Like, the whole energy is competitive. So it's like, when you go through stuff like that, how do you get to the point where it's like, it's fine, we can just be on the bus now?
I personally think, and you know, I always felt like it would be something that would be better to come from his mouth. But like, I'm older than Chip, do you get what I mean? And I've known Chip for a long time, so I feel like I have a right to say it. I'm not gonna disclose everything, but I feel like after that, like, I feel like during that time, obviously a lot was probably going on mentally, right? And I think after that time, he's approached me on several occasions, do you get what I mean? And some of it has been documented, which is why I can talk about it. So, for example, our Disturbing Ibiza in Ushuaia, do you know what I mean? He's pulled up with Lethal Bizzle and all those guys in a very humble way, you know, kind of in an apologetic way as well. And I think for a while, if I'm just being entirely honest, because of where it got to, I almost felt like, and because I'm older and we have a relationship where, or we had a relationship rather, where I picked up that guy from college, bro. You know them ones, used to drive in my car, pick him up. Do you get what I'm saying? And so I kind of felt like, okay, this should be something that is more like, okay, if you're saying this to me, you need to keep that energy when you're around other people. It can't just be like, okay, cool, this is what's happened, my bro, this is how I feel about it now, and then you're kind of carrying on and how you're carrying on. But now I think I'm mature enough, and I think what got me to that place personally was just, you know, the humility of coming to where I am and being like, bro, do you get what I'm saying? And then, yeah, man, like, it just kind of is what it is after a while, innit? Like, what's the point of like holding on to things? Yeah, man. Like,
no, I'm glad that got sorted out, obviously, like, because you, as you mentioned, obviously, I'm close with Chip, I'm close with you, and I respect both your crafts and the things that you've been able to accomplish and the standards and the precedents that you guys have set as artists. And so to know that you guys are in a way better place now is amazing for me.
Yeah, man.
And it's good to see, and it sets a good example out there that you can go through things and you can be cool.
That's the thing, and that's what I would say to everyone. I'd say regardless of like what the capacity of the relationship is, sometimes it's with family members, sometimes it's with your peers in the same field as you. Do you know what I mean? I don't know if there was ever like a Grime Daily versus another platform. Do you know what I mean? Or tensions or beef or we were meant to do that and you guys did it or whatever. I'm sure there was, yeah. But I think as you mature in life, man, you need to, again, go into that Maslow hierarchy of needs. You need to be in a place in yourself where you're at peace with yourself, man, and not holding on to things. Because, bro, people die prematurely because of stress, because of bitterness, because of hurt, because of pain.
Stress is a killer,
because of,
man.
Brother! Do you know what I mean? So yeah. I've worked so hard, bro. I want to enjoy my life, especially where I'm at in my life now. I want to enjoy it, bro. I want to have peaceful nights and I want to go around and I want to feel like I'm kind of blessed with everyone, because realistically, I am. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
You got a new single coming out, Energy.
Yeah, bro, Energy.
Do you want to tell me about that?
Yeah, of course, man. So at the moment, I'm in my kind of bag where I took a long hiatus, I went away, settled down, had kids, even just tried to do other things, man. Like, tried to do other things, got into a bit of TV, so I got a property show, I got quite a big property portfolio, so naturally I have an interest in architecture and stuff like that. Did some investments, etc., etc., set up some businesses, music businesses, like publishing, etc. And then on my hiatus, I started hearing the news after the pandemic of all of the clubs in the UK shutting down. So like nightclubbing is almost feeling like it's going to become something that's like a relic of the past. And the stats are saying that by 2029, there'll be virtually no clubs in the UK. So I wanted to make a project that kind of celebrated all of the genres that I'd come across in my youth and just on my journey of music. And I also wanted to highlight the importance of having these venues where, one, you know, people can come together, socialize, people of all different backgrounds, hear new music, be at one with each other. But then also artists can get their 10,000 hours in, because if I didn't have all these venues, 100 cap, 200 cap, 250 cap, bro, by the time I've got to O2 Arena, how am I doing that? Do you get what I mean? For me personally, I feel like I had to do all of that. So Energy is a house record. The first two that I put out were drum and bass records. I've got a bit of dubstep in there, got a bit of garage in this whole project that I'm working on. And Energy is basically you at the peak of your night. Like, peak of your night. I think 4 a.m. in Ibiza would have been past the peak. Maybe like 1 a.m. or something like that. You're at the peak of your night. Like you said, the bottles are flying. You're feeling good. Your section is nice. And you're just feeling yourself. And then I worked with Punchal on the production. They did quite a bit for Ray on her last album. And then I worked with Alex Mills, who signed to Defected Record. And I like her because she has a really powerful vocal. But what she did on Energy is she kind of made it feel like one of those nostalgic classic house records. You know, like Show Me Love or something like that. So yeah, essentially that's pretty much it, man. And everyone should kind of watch the space. Like, we're loaded, bro. We're not stopping. It's that time again. So this time round, I just want to highlight the importance of our venues and all of the sounds that were able to be birthed out of those venues. And also to remind people that all of this is originating from black music as well, bro. I mean, I think sometimes people hear house music and they forget that actually the originators of house music are black. I think sometimes people hear drum and bass and they forget that the originators of drum and bass are black people. Do you get what I'm saying? So yeah, that's pretty much it.
No, that's dope, man. Super looking forward to it.
Thank you, brother.